In this episode, the HDCP master key has been confirmed, the FCC grants use of unlicensed airwaves, and Verizon is not getting an iPhone, at least not soon. QuickSurf Internet Media presents The Geekinator, talking about all things tech and geek. Hey everybody, how's it going? I'm your host Adrian, coming to you almost live from lovely Phoenix, Arizona, here in Studio C1 at QuickSurf Internet Media. The Geekinator is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Do feel free to head on over to techpodcast.com and check out all the other technology-related shows over there. Before we get into the news, I'd just like to make a note that we are now in our fourth season. This is episode one of season four, and I was hoping to do this last week. I was a little bit under the weather, but this past week has marked the 15th anniversary of the release of the movie Hackers. For those of you who are not familiar with it, it's one of my all-time favorite non-realistic geek movies out there. If you haven't seen it, by all means, go check it out. It's got a very young Angelina Jolie and Johnny Lee Miller in it. And great stuff, great movie if you're a geek. Of course, you know, this is only certain geek things, but it's, again, not realistic, but it's a really great geek movie. So anyway, let's go ahead and get into the news for season four, episode one. From the Washington Post, there's a story: FCC has granted use of unlicensed airwaves. The Federal Communications Commission on Thursday approved the use of unlicensed airwaves in what it hopes will be a new market for high-speed internet connections for smartphones, tablets, and computers. So the order has been approved unanimously by the five-member commission. It's a win for high-tech giants such as Dell, Microsoft, and Google. They've been lobbying for these airwaves, otherwise known as white space. It's basically the space between your television and radio channels and that sort of thing. So this is going to be pretty good news. We're not really going to see a whole lot of effect from this for at least probably a year or two more, but this is going to be good. Let's go ahead and talk about our sponsor for this episode, GoToAssist Express. There are a variety of tools that let you remotely support a client, colleague, or friend, but the only one I trust and rely on is GoToAssist Express, the best remote support tool designed for small to medium-sized businesses, and it's brought to you by Citrix. Why GoToAssist Express? It has exceptional performance, it's easy to use, and it is secure. IT professionals, really anybody who doesn't have time to squander with a tool that is slow or unreliable, will appreciate GoToAssist Express. You have no IT maintenance or updating. It's so fast, you'll be on the other computer doing troubleshooting or running a tutorial or whatever it is that you need to be doing in seconds. And it's consistently reliable. My audience can try GoToAssist Express free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. I repeat, my audience can try GoToAssist Express free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. From CNET News, Verizon's CEO is casting doubt on getting an iPhone. So, and this is basically a story that's in response. There's been a lot of stories out there where there's been a lot of reports where Apple is ordering large amounts of CDMA chips, purportedly in an effort to provide an iPhone that also supports CDMA, that sort of thing. The CEO has addressed in an investor conference to a response about whether or not Verizon would offer an iPhone. He says he would love to carry it, but they have to earn it. So it doesn't look like this is going to happen, at least in the immediate future. But ultimately, as the author points out, Erica Ogg, ultimately something like this is going to happen because Apple wants to expand their market share. And the only way they can expand their market share is to bring on another carrier. So it'll be interesting to see. It may not necessarily be Verizon. It could be Sprint, because Sprint is also CDMA based here in the US. So you know, CDMA and GSM are kind of the two biggies here in the U.S. And I suspect worldwide it's primarily GSM, but CDMA is kind of like, you know, the second tier after that. I don't know for sure, but still nonetheless, this is pretty interesting stuff. From Bloomberg Businessweek, Smart Grid's $200 billion investment lures Cisco and ABB. Technology companies from Cisco Systems to ABB Limited are angling for pieces of Smart Grid, the next generation electricity delivery network designed to monitor consumption better at households and businesses. Cisco, the largest maker of computer networking equipment and a producer of energy monitoring devices, has partnered with meter maker Itron for contracts. Zurich-based ABB, the biggest builder of electricity networks, is developing automation devices for power lines. So there's $200 billion globally of smart grid investment expected to take place. Everybody's lining up, angling, trying to get a piece of the pie. You know, that's how it is sometimes. $200 billion is a lot of money, and I'm sure every single one of these companies is big enough they could go suck that whole thing up, no problem. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. From MakeZine.com, I ran across this post on their blog, Homebrew Scara Robot Arm. This is pretty neat stuff. Axel 32 of Let's Make Robots built this nice-looking Scara robot arm with computer vision capability for about $40. A Scara robot consists of a multi-jointed arm that's more rigid in one direction than the others, which makes it particularly suited for dealing with assembly processes where parts might not be lined up perfectly and a bit of compliance is necessary. So pretty neat stuff. Check it out. I thought it was awesome when I saw it. I was like, that's pretty slick. That is pretty slick. So by all means, check it out. From PC World, HDCP Master Key confirmed Blu-ray content vulnerable. What? Now, this is a little bit of an older story, but still, I thought I would bring it up. HDCP is used to encrypt the digital connection between like a Blu-ray player and a TV over HDMI. It is not the encryption for Blu-ray discs themselves. So with this master key that's been confirmed as is legitimate, it's a valid master key. With this master key, you can't put a Blu-ray disc in your computer and rip it. It doesn't work that way. So HD content is still relatively clean. In order to even take advantage of this key, you have to have hardware that lets you do it. There's, you know, in the article, it was pointed out that there's quite a bit of engineering that would have to take place before this could even be exploited. You know, so it's still quite possible that we'll never see anything come of this, but it's not surprising at all that this has happened. It, you know, as with all things encryption based, you know, it's largely only a matter of time before breaches happen or things get, you know, cracked or the encryption is no longer, secure, that sort of thing. So, I'm not surprised, but at the same time, I'm, you know, like, okay, HDCP is cracked, big whoopee. Personally, I'm not going to do anything about it because I can't. I don't have the resources to do anything about it. And very few people actually do have the resources to do anything about it. From Mashable Entertainment, James Cameron plans to shoot Avatar sequel 6.8 miles underwater. Now, the only reason why I'm bringing this up, it's not so much about the movie. Couldn't care less. It was a pretty good movie, the first Avatar movie. The second one, I don't know. Who knows? Haven't seen it. Probably won't be seeing it for quite some time. But the reason why I bring Avatar up is because the technology to make the 3D behind the scenes is pretty impressive. When the first movie first started to come out, James Cameron for Discovery Networks had a sequence of interviews, and how they actually make the 3D movies when you're shooting live action and not it's created 3D after the fact. You know, it's actually they shoot it in 3D. It's pretty slick. So anyway, I figured I'd bring this up. Another thing that's making this technically pretty interesting is he's shooting it so far underwater instead of you know, normally as you would expect it to be using a submarine he built. 6.8 miles is a long ways to go. He's looking to gain the X Prize that was announced as part of this. So it'll be interesting to see if he actually achieves it, you know, how the movie turns out as a result, that sort of thing. So it'll be pretty neat to see how that turns out. That'll pretty much do it for this edition of The Geekinator. As always, everything we've talked about is linked up in the show notes. Just visit us on the web, quicksurf.com. You can follow me, twitter.com/Adrian_Bacon. And with that, I will see all of you on the next episode. See you then. Go check out Hackers. The phrase from that movie to take away is mess with the best, die like the rest. See you then.